teachers on those campuses that would love and support some of our city's neediest students. Yet their imposed plan leaves our students vulnerable to entire faculty turnovers. Would leave our students vulnerable to entire faculty turnovers each year because TSA positions are year-to-year contracts tied to teachers' ability to increase student success. The district has made no additional offering for resources to support teachers in the accelerated schools. Instead, they have offered a $5,000 salary increase without informing us that it will probably be the last salary increase if a teacher falls short of the mark set by the incentive program known as the College Readiness Promise, or TCRP. Tony Smith, our students do not need any more of your empty promises or educational deforms that are really thinly veiled plans to eradicate the OEA. Our teachers do not deserve to be scapegoated or blamed, left to shoulder the responsibility for a legacy of ill-conceived, harebrained reform ideas. I submit that if they truly expect success, then take the money they found to increase teacher salaries and pay for in-class tutors for ELA and algebra classes. You want us to invest in our students? Why don't you invest in computers for our classrooms and money to replace the light bulbs in LCD projectors? Supply on-site IT personnel to support us in our effort to close the digital divide. Give us a library and a librarian. Without the necessary resources, what they are imposing will result in more time, not increased academic success. We reject this step toward the privatization of the privatization of public education. We reject the intentional destabilization of schools that serve black and brown students. We reject union busting.
Thank you very much, Carla. Now we're going to hear from Joel. It seems like students and parents and teacher issues are very high in this agenda, our agenda today. So let's bring Joel.
So I want to say thank you to everyone that came out today, and I want to thank the May Day Coalition for putting this march that is so important for our community to come together as one. We understand that there are many issues going on in our society right now, and public education is in the middle of that fight. So I'm one of the parents from Lakeview Elementary that's scheduled to close in June, along with four other schools, Santa Fe, Thurgood Marshall, Maxwell Park, and Lazier. It's important for everyone to know that public education across our country right now is under attack and being dismantled. 40 schools in Philadelphia, 20 plus schools in New York, Chicago, Detroit, New Orleans, and the list goes on across our nation. Before I share the stories of the parents, the teachers, the community around the school closures here in Oakland, I want to say one thing. For those of you that are here for many other issues, my first request for all of us to do here in Oakland is to come together and stand as one. There's no way that we're going to be able to move this movement forward until we understand that we are fighting the same struggle. We are fighting the same system. We are fighting the same government that no longer has our best interests, that no longer takes care of the people that truly run this country, the working class, the parents, the teachers, the children, the community. There are 13 million people out of work in this country right now. One out of every two graduates cannot find a job. 52 million citizens in America do not have health care. 10 million and climbing have been foreclosed on just since 2008. We stand in solidarity with the May Day March, with the working class. We stand against deportation and other discriminatory aspects of government immigration policy. And I want to ask everyone that can hear my voice, if you can do me one favor, if you can put a fist up in the air. And I want to ask you the most important thing that I'm going to ask you today. If you're going to continue to fight for change. This is just the beginning. Today is not when we see change. Today is not the day that we change our government and make our government stand for us. Today is not the day that we see all of our hard labors and organizing and hard work paid off. It's going to take time, it's going to take hard work, and it's going to take all of us standing together. So if you're standing close enough to someone else, put that arm and put it around your neighbor. Put it around your community member. Put it around the teacher and the children that are not having a voice to speak out against the atrocities that Oakland Unified School District is doing to them. We are the richest country in this world. The crisis that we are facing is not economic. The crisis that we are facing is greed and capitalism to a level that this country has never seen. Our government has spent and committed a total of $12.2 trillion to bail out banks in the TARP program. Several more trillion dollars for wars. That's where most of our tax money is going. And that's not acceptable anymore. We can't keep the lights on at home, but we can keep the lights on for big corporations. And we see that local trend going on right here in Oakland. Public education is more than just a civil right. It is a fundamental and necessary for our society to thrive. It is a human right. Oakland Unified School District Tony Smith and our school board said that they didn't have enough money to keep these five schools open. And they wanted to close 30 more schools. But somehow, miraculously, they have found over $2 million to move children around this district. $600,000 at Thurgood Marshall to move to Grass Lake. They didn't have the money. Hundreds of thousands of dollars to renovate Lakeview Elementary so they can move district offices there and kick children out of our community school. $384,000 at Burkhalter so the students from Lakeview that already have a school can go over there in portables. I'm going to wrap up and let some of the other speakers speak because there's some very, very, very important speakers today that need to talk to the community and the city of Oakland. But I want to say that California is our eighth largest economy in the world. We are 47th in our nation. There is no reason why this state should be dead last in public education. We have the money. The money is here. Our education system has money, our country has money, our state has money, and we're not going to stand back and allow our federal and state government not to fund our public education system. We need all of you in our community to stand in the center of your community where the schools are at. Stand with us and send a message that this is no longer going to go on in our country. We are no longer going to let the children pay the price for the adults making the mistakes. The last thing I want everyone in Oakland to realize, that public education is affecting more than just our future. It's affecting our violence in our city. We have a school to prison pipeline. A third of our nation's students are not graduating from high school, and they end up in jail. It's 45% in Oakland, and that's not acceptable. We cannot do business as usual anymore. So I'm going to ask one last time to see those fists. I'm going to ask one more time that you come down to your local school, that you come down to the schools that are being closed, and you support them. And I guarantee that you will see your community change. You will see the city of Oakland change. You will see our state change, and you will put pressure on our federal government to fund education and take care of the people. Thank you.
All right, y'all, it's good to see so many people out here in Oakland tonight. We're here to strike, we're here to occupy, we're here to decolonize, we're here to liberate Oakland. Let's go, Oakland! For those of you who weren't here earlier, they had a tank out here. The police had a tank out here. The next speakers coming up tonight are going to tell you a little bit about police brutality. First, somebody that you all know, we call him Uncle Jack. Jack Bryson.
Thank you. I just want to talk about a little bit about police brutality. I'm going to introduce some family members that were affected by police brutality. But first, I want to pass out these flyers. I was just in New York trying to help this mother organize. Her son was killed. His name was Ramarty Graham. The police went in his house, shot him in his bathroom in front of his mother, his grandmother, and his two-year-old niece. And I told her we were in California, we would support her, because everyone, every family member is important, and we should all be supporting someone when they're killed by the police. So I'm gonna pass these flyers out. His name is Ramarty Graham, and please go on Facebook and support Ramarty Graham. We need justice for Ramarty Graham in New York City, in the Bronx. The next person I wanna introduce, her son was shot 48 times by the Stockton police. So it's our responsibility to support her. That's what we've been trying to do, organize her. Please welcome Dion.
Hi, my name is Dion Smith Downs. I'm the mother of James Earl Rivera, who was murdered July 22nd, 2010, a day before his 17th birthday. My son was shot 48 times, 18 bullets into his body. He had holes in his head size of a golf ball. They used 9mm and M16s, R16s. The coroner's report have not been released to me. His property have not been released to me. And we having a protest May 8th, 2012 in Stockton at 2 o'clock, and we need some support at the DA office to ask for the coroner's report and his property. Power to the people.
The next lady I'm gonna introduce, we're also trying to organize for her. Her husband was shot 11 times by the Stockton police. Shot 11 times in his back. I'm gonna introduce her right here. This is Ms. Brown.
Hello. I'm Shauna Brown, and again, yes, my husband Luther Brown was shot April 6, 2012, and it just seemed like after 30 minutes, my life was just upside down after him leaving me. He was shot and killed, and it was on a routine stop because we had a new car and it didn't have any license plates on it, and so he got out and proceeded to give them his identification and whatever and whatnot, and he fled the scene and he took off, and then they ran after him and then proceeded to beat him and then shot at him 11 times. You know, we're in the middle of just trying to get things together. This is so hard. You know, I just never imagined it would be for me, you know, and now it's, we've got to wake up the city of Stockton and everywhere else. We need so much support. It's unreal. We cannot let this continue to happen. We need you guys to come out, support us May 8th at this courthouse at 2 o'clock. All resources, all hands are on deck right now. We need everybody. We need to stop. We need to get this message all across these cities and let them know we're not playing with this. You're not going to continue to do this to our people. We need all of you to tell them that we are not going to let you do this to us. We need all of you. All of you, like you are here right now, to come out to Stockton and put it down and let them know that we're not going to do this, because I'm not going to let them do this to my husband and nobody else's family after this. So wherever I got time and I can get out and I can support, I don't care who it is, call us. I will be there. So I'm with the People's Committee that's helping, trying to get this together. We need you. Please come out and support. I have five kids in college. I need you. I need everybody, and I will come out and do the same for you.
Police brutality is not no joke. When I was talking to Romali Graham's mother in New York, every day that he was shot right in front of the mother, the grandmother, and his two-year-old niece. And she showed me the bathroom where he was shot. And she said they took away her son, and every day she has to look at that bathroom. How can you imagine how that is? So when she says she needs you, we got to support her. The next person I want to introduce you to is who this plaza is named after. This plaza is called Oscar Grant Plaza. And I'm going to introduce you to him. My two sons were with Oscar Grant, and the other young men that were with Oscar Grant. And we built the movement here in Oakland, and the movement that changed the world. So I'm going to introduce someone. His name is, he's Uncle Bobby. I'm not. So this is Uncle Bobby. This is Oscar Grant's uncle.
Hello, everyone. As Jack was saying, I am Oscar Grant's uncle, Uncle Bobby. And I need to tell you, I was in Florida with the Trayvon family doing a rally and a protest, but there is no community like the Oakland community. I mean, there's no community like the Oakland community. When I say community united, you say power. Community united.
Power.
Community united.
Power.
Community united.
Power.
This is what a movement is about. When we stand united, we're more powerful than an atomic bomb. Do you hear me? We're more powerful than an atomic bomb. When I say pigs, you say oink, oink. Pigs.
Oink, oink.
Pigs.
Oink, oink.
Pigs.
Oink, oink.
Pigs.
Oink, oink.
Pigs.
Oink, oink.
This is what I'm talking about. There's power in this community. As long as we stay united, we have a lot of issues, but there's one common thread with all our issues, and that is the police. So we must stay strong. We must do what we have to do to support one another and tie all these issues together. And remember, community united equals
power.
Community united equals
power.
Community united equals
power.
And I want to say, we need to give a shout out to a good friend of mine who's also standing up for his sister, Kenneth Harding, who you've heard was killed over in San Francisco for a $2 transit. His name is Marco. Please support all the families that have lost their lives. I am Trayvon Martin. I am still Oscar Grant. I am Kenneth Harding.
I am Luther Brown.
I am James Revere.
I am Sean Bell.
We are all those, and we are our brother's keeper. Much love to you all. Thank you for being here.
One more thing. Please support these families, because if you don't, if you've been reading Facebook, that's why it's important. Murder comes from capitalists. If you read the newspaper, the Koch brothers are sponsoring the attorneys and paying for George Zimmerman's fees to fight this, to fight the police, we can't get no justice because the Koch brothers are supporting George Zimmerman, just like when Johannes Medley was released from jail. The police department had a $1 million check waiting for him for what he did to Oscar Grant. That's why it's so important that we fight and we stand up and unite. Please support these families like you did for Oscar Grant. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Thank you very much. Yeah.
All right, y'all, I wanted to announce that the People's Community Medics have a free medic training for the people. Saturday, May 12th, 2012, 1 p.m., Arroyo Park, all right? Arroyo Viejo Park, 1 p.m., Saturday, May 12th. It's a free community medics training by the People's Community Medics. They've done this all over Oakland, and it's really important that people know these things because sometimes, you know, the police won't help you respond, so you need to figure out how to save each other.
Thank you very much for coming. Thank you for being our guiders. Thank you. Well, it seems that we have a lot of pain to put out. They're constantly killing us. They prosecuted us. They incarcerated us. And they damn put an army on the border. And they have now comunidades seguras, secure communities, to take on another group, the immigrant group. We're gonna hear from Francisca Carranza, who's an immigrant, and will talk to us about another struggle that we have to keep an eye on, a struggle that we need to fight for. Let's welcome her. Buenas tardes, papá. ¿Se puede? ¿Se puede? Sí se puede. Mi nombre es Francisca Carranza y yo soy una trabajadora de Castle West Country Club en Pleasanton.
Hello, my name is Francisca Carranza and I'm a worker at Castaway Country Club in Oakland, in Pleasanton.
We have been in a lockout for over 2 years. There's a group of 61 workers and the club decided to lock the door on us because they decided that they weren't going to pay health benefits for migrant workers and their families. We don't think this is right. They decided that they could subcontract our jobs. They decided that they could get rid of the long-time workers and hire new people, hire young people for low wages than the wages that we were receiving. We don't think this is fair. Who thinks this is fair? It is time to tell them that we have enough. That we cannot be oppressed anymore. It is time to tell them that we're gonna come united and that we're not gonna put up with any more of their abuses. En el lugar donde yo trabajo decidieron cerraron las puertas a nosotros hace más de 2 años. Ellos decidieron que no iban a pagar más por nuestros servicios médicos de los compañeros y de nuestras familias. También decidieron que iban a subcontratar los trabajos. Esto no es justo, no pensamos que es justo. Decidieron que debían de despedir a los trabajadores de tanto tiempo y contratar gente joven y gente nueva y les iban a pagar mucho menos que los salarios que nosotros recibíamos. No pensamos que esto es justo. We are workers and we have dignity. They need to learn that. Somos trabajadores y tenemos dignidad y ellos necesitan saber eso. We are workers and we need to get together and tell them that we are not alone. We need to tell them that together we can make a force even bigger than what they have. Necesitamos enseñarles que tenemos fuerza, que no estamos solos y que juntos podemos hacer una fuerza aún más grande de la que ellos tienen. I'm going to invite everyone here today to know about your rights, to learn about your rights, to come together with other workers, to speak up, to not stay quiet anymore. Yo los invito a todos a hablar, aprender sobre sus derechos, a no quedarse callados, no más. We cannot stand any more abuses. No podemos soportar más abusos. ¿Quién está de acuerdo conmigo? ¿Se puede? ¿Can we do it? Es tiempo de decirle a los gobernantes que tenemos derechos y que merecemos que nos den documentos a todos. Pagamos taxes, no somos criminales.
It is time that the government learns that we are hard workers, that we have dignity, that we have rights, that we deserve legalization.
We are here to work, we are here to support our families. We are not here to rob anybody. We are not here to steal from anybody. We are here looking for a better future for our families, like just like all of you. Estamos aquí buscando trabajos, estamos aquí mejorando, tratando de mejorar la vida de nuestras familias justo como todos ustedes. So I'm inviting you here to come together and get united and organize ourselves and show the government that we can do it. Show everybody that we're gonna stay united and we're gonna be strong and we're not gonna put up with anything anymore. ¿Se puede? ¿Se puede? Gracias.
All right, y'all, coming up next is somebody who worked really hard to get this march on here tonight. She's going to talk a little bit about the history of May Day and how those struggles still are still going on today. Diana, everybody.
Thanks, Robbie. When I say dignity, you say resistance. Dignity. 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 So before I share a little history of May Day, I kind of wanted to share a little history of myself. I grew up in Hawaii, and on May Day, they called May Day is Lay Day in Hawaii. And every year we would celebrate the upcoming of spring. But it wasn't until I became an activist that I really understood the political importance of May Day, International Workers' Day. And I think people that spoke before me really spoke to it very well. And I also think the theme that we picked for this particular march, Dignity and Resistance, also speaks well to the history of May Day. International Workers' Day first started, I'm sure people know, around the fight, around the 8-hour work day. They fought for their dignity to be able to work 8 hours, not in sweatshop conditions, not in horrible factory conditions. And, you know, we're still continuing some of that fight today. The most amazing part, and I think you can see it happening here, is that immigrants and workers came together to fight for the 8-hour workday. And that's also kind of a theme of 2006, where immigrants and workers came together to fight against the evil Sensenbrenner bill that basically criminalized immigrants. And fast forward to 2010, when Arizona passed SB 1070, and they tried to do the same thing, and they continue to do the same thing in Alabama, Atlanta, Georgia, and the list goes on and on and on. And the federal government, as Lucretia spoke to, instituted secure communities, which basically does the same thing in our own neighborhoods in Oakland and San Francisco. Today, in 2012, we mark a new day in history for May Day. A new day where our May Day coalition came together with Occupy activists, immigrants' rights activists, and labor activists to march under the theme Dignity and Resistance, and we will continue to fight for our dignity, and we will continue to resist until all of our demands are met, which all the speakers spoke to. No more police brutality, no more incarceration, jobs for all, healthcare for all, houses for all. The list goes on and on and on. And every May Day, we will continue to fight for these issues. And, you know, in between that too. But that is the importance of May Day and International Workers' Day. I forgot to mention this. Labor Day was made to take away International Workers' Day from us. Another reason why we need to continue to fight for International Workers' Day. So I'm gonna close on that, but I'm also, unfortunately, we needed money to make
we needed money to make this march happen. And we're a little bit in debt, so I'm appealing to the crowd to help us out here. There's buckets over here. I'm going to come around with a bucket. Anything will help, five, a penny, dollar, 5 cents, whatever. Thank you.